Post show.
Okay.
All right, so.
That was an interesting show.
There's still some triple buck in the bottle. Another ounce in there. You want some?
No, I do not. So we didn't talk about this on the pre-show.
Oh, you're... Yeah, those are weird.
Yeah, they're really weird. These are goldfish, Pepperidge Farm goldfish, but they're not...
They're the graham cracker versions.
The graham cracker versions, yeah. And then it tastes like, you know, French Toast Crunch, that cereal. That it's, I think it's really weird because like the first like five or six you have, you're like, this is really good. And then you have six more and you're like, okay, that's enough. That's plenty.
Yeah. You want some Double Bastard?
No, I think I'm fine. I think
You're good?
Okay. I think I'm good.
Well, let's see. I don't want to ruin the storage of said beers. I'm good too. I take some out and the beers won't be good as when I reopen them later, so... what's going on, man?
Let's do the
pronunciation first, and we can work on Amazon Namas. We can kind of like browse on the sly and pick our things. So yeah, the should you pronounce shows or words like the natives call it, or should you pronounce it as is natural in the spoken language, right?
I think it's one of those things where...
You talked about how, you know, years ago in the news, they would say Nicaragua or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, like, on NPR, like, there's a Mandalika Del Barco or whatever, I think that's her name, right? But she, you know, really, she gets really ethnic when she says her name. She speaks like she was born in America, you know, like, born in New York the entire time. And then only when she says her name, it gets really ethnic. And I get it. I mean, I get the part where, you know, you want to...
Celebrate your heritage.
But why is it... Now, maybe if she was doing a story on Latin America, right? You know, maybe all the town names and stuff would be... Would have accent. But
the weird thing is, like, you don't go by Berrier. You say Bearer. I don't go by Vice. I go by Weiss. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to take me back to, you know, to my roots, I'd, you know, Gregor Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be...
Well, we changed our name, right?
Right.
However, I think we talked about this.
It might not be Berrier.
It might not have been Berrier. That might have been a false premise or false genealogy thing. I don't know, because, it turns out we're from Strasbourg, which is German-speaking France, and I don't... That whole thing didn't show the B-E-A-R-I-E-R that I had seen elsewhere.
But, I mean, still, there's going to be a certain Americanization of things in, you know, it's not enchiladas, it's enchiladas. You know, there's as things get more and more regular.
Okay, so let's not worry about frimbos and goose and things like that. Hefeweizen.
Yes.
What should Hefeweizen be? Hefeweizen. Hefeweizen.
If it becomes a really popular beer, then it will turn into Hefeweizen.
Well, no, just be called wheat beer.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, if for some reason the name itself became popular,
it would
be Hefeweizen, because you know that's the way that it would likely turn out, and really it's a thing when it becomes popular, when it becomes huge, that's when things, you know what I mean, that's when Notre Dame became Notre Dame, that sort of thing. So it's like as long as it remains on the periphery, then it seems reasonable to use to either interchange or something. Yeah. But when it becomes something popular,
like you know, for alt beer, I say alt beer, not alt beer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's going to be an ingrained habit. So even if I want to change it, it's going to be very tough, right? It's going to be you know I'm still going to say Huza, just because I'm so used to calling it Huza. Gonna call Frimbo. I mean, I've already called framboise, and even if the evidence shows that framboise is closer, or framboise is closer, right?
So you are going to do things regardless of the evidence.
No. Not consciously.
So you want to change, but it's hard of you. That's different than saying, yes. I'm not going to change. It's going to be stuck.
Right, or no. It's I'm going to say it, then say it, and then realize, I didn't want to say it that way.
Yeah. No, I get that. It's such a tough call because there is both, I want to respect tradition, and there's also this, does pronunciation matter that much if you're getting across the general idea?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily sure that it does. But then there's a lot of components saying it reminds me of not last week, but the last time Nick was on.
Mm-hmm.
We had a conversation about the way certain things in languages are changing and the way the meaning of literally has actually changed to be not literally that. And
but really,
yeah, to be sort of, to be in essence,
well,
figuratively.
It means really figuratively, really.
Yeah.
Like I really mean this figuratively.
Right.
Is what it means.
And is that a negative or a positive? And really the answer is neither. It's just the language evolving. And if you can't fight change. You can't fight this. This is going to happen. So at some point you have to let it go. It's like when I hear people say irregardless. I'm not a fan of the word, but I have to let it go. It's become, it's non-standard, but it's become part of the way people talk. When people say things that to me, here's another example. Another example that almost everybody does. When I learned the word often, it was with a silent T. So when people say often, it still bugs me.
Often.
But I can't just yell at them and say, no, it's often. It's a silent T because it's not going to accomplish anything except for make me look like a dick. Mm-hmm. And, everyone else who learned it with a T, whatever, they're fine with often. They don't see any reason why that should be a problem.
I mean, I was that way, right? Mine was often. I wonder if Western Pennsylvania, I wonder if it's a regional thing, right? I don't know. I've never done the research, but I wonder if it's either a family thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And my family didn't teach me often, or it's a regional thing. I'm probably thinking it's a regional thing, but I probably should ask around and I should interview people.
There's definitely some regional things that I notice coming to history, like when somebody says, we all go to this place or something like that. That's not, I didn't have that kind of terminology
mm-hmm.
when I was in Maryland. But then again, when I was in Maryland, I said water instead of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that, and that also is sort of a New York thing. It's funny when I watch Cosmos, I see Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about water. He says water, water, water. And it's funny to me because I've adjusted myself to say water because everyone else here says water.
Right.
And it actually sounds better to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear it in that way, it strikes me as weird. So sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes mm-hmm. I can
right.
I like the way you do it here better.
Who knows? The way Yin's guys do it?
Fortunately, that has remained solely in the Pittsburgh area, the whole Yin's thing.
Okay, so I've been browsing through Amazon Anonymous here, and there's a couple good items, but I think what I'm going to pick... I got to thank my work colleague Justin for buying all the stuff that I saw on his desk Friday, through our Amazon link, because three of the things that I saw on his desk are on our thing. So thank you so much there. So I guess it's not completely anonymous if I can see what you order, if I actually see the product that's delivered to your desk. I'm going to go with the CET Toothpaste Enzymatic Tartar Control Beef flavored toothpaste.
Beef flavored.
It's for dogs, right? But still.
Oh, okay.
Beef flavored toothpaste.
I was like, maybe I maybe you should
find the wrong toothpaste, man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Most helpful customer review. I know Greg doesn't like the reviews. I do.
Do they know that it tastes like beef? I mean,
dogs?
I mean, well, the dogs do, but I mean, have you ever tried it and said, taste not really like milk. It's like those. I've heard that those bacon, you know, those bacon strips thing that sort of smell like bacon.
Right.
That people have tried them and said they taste nothing like bacon.
They look like bacon.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
They look like bacon.
That.
They smell vaguely like bacon. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, most helpful customer review. Great product. Take it from a professional. I'm a registered dental hygienist, in parentheses,
for people,
who has also cleaned dog teeth in a veterinary settings, as well as my own dog's teeth at home. I can attest the importance of good oral care for us and our pets. Regular effective cleaning can help guard against both tooth decay and gum disease, parentheses, which causes teeth to become loose and fall out eventually.
This is why I hate these reviews. It's as bad as marketing speak on the beer. Come on, man. Just find the parts that are interesting.
No, it's about reading the absurdity of this stuff. Cleaning your pet's teeth in office, quotes, as the vet is a valuable service, one which I highly recommend, but it's hard on your pet, anesthesia required, and you're in your pocketbook. So you can do it once every few years instead of every year.
So this is a woman because she said pocketbook instead of wallet.
Yeah, okay, so it's hard to read. I'm going to had great success. How's it taste? That's what I want to know.
She says my dogs love the taste. So, yeah.
My cat and dogs like it.
I would suggest peanut butter, then. I mean, a peanut butter flavor. Dogs love peanut butter. Can't get enough.
1-star review. Silver material from tube decomposes. I would not purchase this product again. I used this product in my dog's mouth for about 2 weeks and noticed that I could easily put... Could not easily put the small white screw cap back on. I am specifically talking about where the top screws on the tube. Well, where else is there a screw cap? After wiping around the tube there, where the top screws on, I noticed the silver material from the tube corroding and decomposing. I don't think metal can decompose.
Sure it can. Well, it can oxidize and
can't decompose.
No, because organics decompose.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it can corrode, but you're not seeing corrosion there,
right?
Okay, so anyway,
all right.
Oh, there's a comment on the review. Let's see what the comment was. You're dick shit.
You're dick shit. Well,
thanks for the review. I was happy with Vibrac until the same problem with corrosion that you report. I'm worried about the possibility of lead or nickel poisoning now.
Lead or nickel poisoning from the corrosion of something, you know, of maybe some aluminum foil. Wow, people have such a horrible understanding of science.
That was $9.99.
Okay, so I'm going to pick what to me is really interesting because it's a pretty expensive one. The Baratza Encore Conical Burr Coffee Grinder. Someone purchased this for $129 off of the list price of $199, so they saved a considerable amount of money. But so I guess conical burrs are better than your traditional standard coffee.
Well,
grinder.
The whirly blade ones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because conical burrs give you a consistent grind. The whirly blades, you don't get a consistent grind until you get to powder.
Yeah.
So.
So this is somebody who's a big coffee fan and wants their coffee right. They're going to spend their money on their coffee. So
I mean, $129 is probably middle of the road for a good coffee grinder. You know, some people will say you won't get a good one for $300 or $400. Mine, the one I bought for $4, brand new in the box, retails for about $79.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this one's better than mine, at least price tag wise. It gets good reviews, though.
Yeah, I mean, the most helpful review says, finally, a does-it-all grinder for under $300. Blah, 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 blah. And all the reviews seem to be very good. So, like, one of them is a great, quote-unquote, made-in-Taiwan grinder. I don't know why it's quote-unquote, but whatever. Let's see. There's one most recent customer review where somebody gave it a 1-star, and he said, did not come with side dial adjustable self timer. So.
Oh, look, here's a picture. There's actually a picture of the side dial adjustable self timer. His was lacking that? Did he look on the other side?
I don't know. He said he returned it, so.
I only checked one side, and the dial wasn't there.
Just like. That's what I imagine the guy was probably like.
Those damn Jews.
Don't check one side. Alright. That was Amazon Anonymous for this week.
If people that aren't clear, I wasn't just making an anti-Semitic joke on my own. That was aside from Duck Dynasty that Greg was playing.
And
while he didn't talk about Jews, I don't think. He was talking about gays and how they're going to hell. I figured he probably hates Jews, too. So I was ad-libbing a little bit.
Let's talk about Redbox.
Redbox.
You mentioned either it was last week or the week before that you...
Blu-ray.
You get some stuff from Redbox.
Well... We have. I mean, I haven't in a year now. But, yeah, I have in the past.
So what's that like? Because I've never done one of those things.
You go to the giant Redbox kiosk, right? And you pick a movie and you put in your credit card and you pay like $1 a day or something like that, right? And you take the movie home, watch it, take it back.
You also do games there too, right?
You can do. I think you can. I've never tried doing games. You don't have to take it back to the same Redbox, so you could rent one in Boston and return it here. You know, you could do all kinds of stuff. So, the biggest problem I have with Redbox is that a lot more than you would hope is like straight to DVD bullshit. You know, there's not a lot of features.
Yeah,
there's some features, but it's not like Netflix. I mean, obviously, there's a whole physical keeping the disc in the machine so you can grab it type stuff, right? So it's harder to do that. But I think we stopped using it. We used it much less, because we were like at the kiosk, we're like just a bunch of straight to DVD bullshit, you know, and not enough features in there. I think that was probably the main reason we kind of pulled away from it.
It's interesting that they, you know, they turn basically.
I think they have a streaming service too, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because my Roku has Redbox streaming stuff, so they've got into streaming as well.
And that's where the money is. But it's interesting that you know, they turn Blockbuster from essentially, you know, a big brick and mortar storefront into a tiny little box that does all the shit that you would really need. But like you said, it doesn't have. Because if they were to have the latest and greatest, then it'd be sold out almost immediately, right? And so that's kind of, I think, the spiel is that, well, these are going to be 1 or 2 year old movies if you're interested.
But even then, it's not just all features, right? You have to wade through a bunch of crap to get to even the older features, right? So, I mean, that was probably the main reason. I mean, but, you know, I have other reasons too, right? I mean, it's pretty easy for me to get movies.
Yeah.
To source movies from other places without having to leave my house. So, you know, most people don't have that kind of technical savvy to do that without getting in trouble. So, you know, I have that option as
well. Or, you know, Netflix now, you can pay $7 a month and Netflix. Get pretty much everything.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix is a good option. I mean, if you buy a Roku, right, then you get to see the Redbox streaming, you can see the Blockbuster streaming. You can kind of pick. I don't know if any of those are a la carte or whether... I think Redbox might be a la carte. I'm not sure. So you might be able to... If you're an infrequent user, you might be able to drive some better pricing out of some of these other services than a monthly subscription service. I'm not sure. But, I mean, that's the one nice thing about Redbox, right? You walk up to Redbox, you rent a DVD, it's $1 a day. Take it back in a day.
How do they keep track of you? Like, if you,
the um,
Yeah, if you use your credit card, is it?
You use your credit card. The disc is in a jewel case type thing that has barcoded, right? So when you put it back in, they scan it, and then, you know, it checks you back in. And it plugs into the whole network, right? So, you could, like I said, you can return it to a different machine in a different state, and they'll...
But, I mean, there's no... You can't use cash, right? Because that would be... That would...
I don't think there's cash slot on the thing. We're almost certain there's not.
Yeah, you'd have to use a credit card because they have some way of tracking.
Yeah, you would need a username and a password, you know, and that would just be... On a kiosk like that, it would be very unusable compared to just swiping your Magstripe.
So you'd have some sort of credit card or ATM card or whatever in order to use the machine.
That's not a very high bar to entry these days.
No, it's not. But it's still not nothing.
Right. But you're not going to be able to rent a DVD from Blockbuster in the old days without paying your membership fee.
You had to actually... Did you have a membership fee yet?
I guess sometimes they did. Sometimes you did.
Yeah, I think that later on that you didn't have one.
Speaking of Blockbuster, it's funny. See those jewel cases that are more of the security ones, right? When Blockbuster was closing, Heather was there, right? And that's the first three seasons of Arrested Development. She bought all those for like a couple bucks. Because, you know, when they were closing up, they were having everything must be a sale.
Not bad.
So I'll be ripping those to MPEG-4 here shortly. Oh, got almost all my DVDs ripped. I had ripped some of them in the past, but it was at the point when I didn't have a media player that could play MPEG-4, so I ripped them some to XFID. And I've since decided, you know, now the time has progressed, that, you know, the handbrake option for Universal is a good break even.
So what about special feature? I mean, are you a special features guy?
Not so much. I'm not too worried about special features. There's an app called Make MKV, and it will rip the whole thing and give you the menu and everything like that, right? So, I mean, that's an option if I had a disc where I was really worried about special features. There's hardly a movie. I mean, Tommy Boy. Do I really want the special features of Tommy Boy?
Are there even any?
I mean, I'm just saying, but, you know, those kind of movies, I'm only going to watch them one or two more times in my life anyway, right? So,
I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, one thing I love about all the community DVDs is they all have... They have great special features. They all have good gag reels, and there's commentary on every episode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love commentary.
The commentary is pretty easy to do with Handbrake, right? You can just check the audio track. It puts it into the MPEG-4, and you can just switch the audio track. So, I mean, and chapters are built into with the Handbrakes that I'm ripping. So I'm getting stuff that has... the Universal is nice. It's a bigger file, but it gives you the 5.1 surround sound. It gives you a stereo mix, and then you could pick the commentary track if you wanted, and it gives you chapters. I mean,
and subtitles too. And
I'm not pulling subtitles,
but you can. You could.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, it's they're DVDs, right? So they're just 480p.
Yeah. Like Damien's wife is a little bit hard of hearing, so she likes to have subtitles on.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so it's always good to have those available when necessary.
Max and I started watching episode one today, and I realized the copy of episode one I have, it's in English, but the opening scroll, it's in Spanish. So the whole movie's in English except for the opening scroll.
Like it matters. The whole opening scroll's about some sort of tax situation. So.
Oh, no, it was episode two. It was Attack of the Clones. It was like, Attack of the Clones. The Attack de Clones or something. That's what it was. It was episode two. The opening scroll was in Spanish.
Why are you subjecting your son to such such horrible, horrible mediocrity?
It's really, he's the perfect age. 3 years old.
I guess he
liked episode one. Oh, he sees himself as little Anakin, right? Actually, episode one, I watched it today. I don't want to go back into Star Wars podcast mode.
I'll say this. Episode one is the best of the prequels, and it's a shitty fucking movie.
It was a lot better than what I saw in episode two so far. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay, so there's a lot of coincidence, happenstance, dumb luck, but it's not horrible. I mean,
it's absolutely horrible. It's got no story. It makes no fucking sense. But episode two is worse. Yeah. And episode three is even worse.
Yeah. The effects in episode one look better than the effects in episode two.
Episode two is when they really just stop trying, right? That's when they just green screen everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Episode one, at least they had some practical sets.
The only problem with that, I mean, the biggest effect problem with episode one is, you know, Jar Jar was all CGI and he was pretty jerky.
Yeah.
Where what I saw of Jar Jar in episode two, he was a lot smoother. But there's so many other problems with the green screen effects in episode two. So many. I don't want to turn this into another Star Wars podcast. We just got a tweet yesterday saying, oh, a Star Wars podcast, how original.
Originality was never our our pursuit.
Community, G.I. Joe episode.
Yeah.
It was interesting. They really put a lot of effort into nailing the construction of a G.I. Joe episode. It was very nostalgic, right? It took you right back there. And
nailing all the idiosyncrasies in the G.I. Joe world.
It was really... That was a great twist. Like, oh my God, he killed Destro. You can't kill Destro. What the...
Yeah. they got a lot of the original voice actors to do, like, the voices. Like, the guy who did Flint and... Duke, those were the original voice actors.
It sounded really good. Yeah. And the animation, I mean, Destro looked maybe a little bit off from my memory, but I mean, and the rest of them looked really good. Cobra Commander.
the guy who voiced Cobra Commander is dead, so Rob Schraub, the director, did Cobra Commander. But And they cut to those TV commercials, commercials.
Those were really good.
Yes. And the name of the thing, the Submachopter. I love the silly names.
And they made toys for the community characters.
Yeah, and of course the names of the characters. I mean, Britta being Buzzkill is perfect.
Yeah.
And even better was Chang being Overkill, which I thought was amazing. Abed being Fourth Wall.
Yeah.
It was a very creative...
Jeff talking to Annie. I gave you a big boob.
A very creative, fun episode. Not one of the best episodes he's ever done. But you, I love that a show can do something like that. You know, the next two episodes will be... The last two, and they'll be...
I was telling Greg beforehand, the one part I didn't get... I got kind of what they were trying to do, but what I didn't think was... either well executed, or if it was well executed, I just missed part of it, was the second to last scene, not the after the credits moral of the story, but the one where they were live action in the hospital room, and they were doing this 80s sitcom wrap up, and everyone was smiling and hugging and all that stuff. It didn't seem so much G.I. Joe live action. It seemed more 80s sitcom to me.
Yeah, I think what they were going for was something along the lines of a joke, because I think that all G.I. Joe episodes tend to end with like some sort of quip and then everybody laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And that some sort of awful quip and everybody laughing, and that is exactly what happened.
Right.
I trust screeny writers enough to know that they could write a good quip there if they wanted to.
What was up with the G.I. Joe dude with the hats on his ears?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Because they had the other rejected characters, right? They had arms and sleep apnea, which was Dan Harmon. And
but he wasn't a reject. He was a lie. He was a full-fledged G.I. Joe, but he had
hats for ears.
Hats for ears. Okay. Thought maybe there was something inside that I had missed there.
I don't think there's anything other than just why not? Yeah.
Okay. Heather was in the room, and she's like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, it's Community. I'm like, why are you watching this? I'm like, it's Community. She didn't get it.
No. That is an episode that not many people are going to get. That was the lowest rated episode they've ever had.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And people actually turned it off?
I was not surprised because, you know, if you're expecting some sort of live action come, you see some animation thing, then you'd like, oh, this is not what, this is not my, it didn't give any indication it was Community right away. So
yeah, that's pretty risky, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's... but I
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, since we're not drinking, might as well just wrap it up.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll catch you next week.
Stuff.
And that, too.